Welcome back to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. This is our lesson number 5. So we welcome all of our students back. And we pray that you're enjoying the impartation that is coming from our apostle, our dean, and our instructor. And I want you to know that we are excited that you are a part of the training center and the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The Bible says effectual work of ministry. And so, therefore, it is necessary. And I pray that others in your congregation, your local church and assemblies, that you would testify and share how you are experiencing and how you're learning and enjoying the training center. And then it may be a blessing to other saints so that you can create a culture in your local church. Begin to cause a culture of Christians and believers who understand the fivefold giftings and callings to the body of Christ, and how you can better equip and help equip your pastor and aid him in the work of ministry, to realize that he cannot do it all by himself, that God has called you alongside of him to work with him, hand in hand, and supporting the work and having hands on. We like to call it having boots on the ground. And that's important because of the fact the work is vast. But because we are all one part of one body, but many members, we understand the operation. And we cannot have heavenly manifestation without having heavenly order in the earth. And that comes when the government is being explained and taught in the body of Christ. When the government of the kingdom is being taught and trained in the body of Christ, then we can have heavenly order, heavenly manifestations, and heavenly demonstrations in the congregation. And the love of Jesus will just spread all over the church, and we'll begin to, people will begin to embrace the love of God all the way from the parking lot all the way into the sanctuary. And when praise and worship go on, man, the glory of God can hit that that fellowship and that worship experience, and people can receive healings and miracles in every service, not just one service, in every service. Is activated by our order, the heavenly order, when we understand the culture of honor. Amen. That gifts are released and miracles and signs and wonders will manifest themselves. So let's get right into the lesson, lesson number 5, starting on page 58. So we want to go back there as we just got through talking about the apostles and the prophets. Now we're talking about also the teaching gifts. Jesus Christ exemplified his teaching ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus taught the word of God explicitly with authority and with power, that people know that he was not just another teacher, but he was, amen, one who knew the author, one who knew God, one who had an experience and encounter with God and knew the will of God. And so therefore, when as you also, as men and women of God, as we also embrace God's presence and embrace the kingdom order of this culture, then we're able to have that same presence, that same anointing that was on Jesus is also on you. And you will have the signs, wonders, and miracles manifesting in your personal life and also in your ministry. So let's pick up at the second paragraph on page 58. And it talked about, but the fivefold anointing, the fivefold anointing. Remember that fivefold anointing is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The fivefold anointing of teaching. He also talked about the teaching gift of the anointed, the office of the teacher. He says, which is one of the gifts of Christ. Christ operated in all five, and we really see him operating also in the teaching gift, because everywhere he went, he taught in their synagogues. He taught in their temples. He always gave parables. All through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see those parables. And his teaching, the doctrine of the kingdom, he taught that to us. In Matthew 4, 5, and 6, he taught about he started dealing with the Beatitudes and how it's important that we understand the Beatitudes of the kingdom. So it's very important. Let's go further, he says. Gifts of Christ, who modeled just what each anointing does is very different. It's very different. So number one, we're talking about question one, number one that you need to make note of in your underlining in your book or making notes, that Jesus exercised the teaching ministry. Jesus exercised the teaching ministry. We're going to get to that here. It says, Jesus exercised his teaching gift by both preaching and demonstrating. By both preaching and demonstrating. His message with miracles. That's number one. That Jesus exercised his teaching gift by both preaching and demonstrating his message with miracles. That one of the things that we have to also understand, that when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is taught, signs, wonders, and miracles are available. They will also certify the gospel that you preach. It will certify the gospel that you preach. That when you teach the word of God about healing, about faith, about deliverance, whatever you're teaching the gospel concerning, there should also be demonstrations of that gospel being preached. And so what we see a lot of in our nation, we hear a lot of explaining or teaching, but very few demonstrating the power. Very few miracles being exemplified of the gospel being real, that it can manifest, that it can happen right now today. So many just read the Bible as a story, as a fable, and not reading it as the Word of God, as Word of God being manifested. But we want you to understand, as students in this training center, that you are to manifest the gospel. You are the example. You are the living proof. You are the fruit of the gospel. And therefore, you are designed to manifest the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're preaching it or teaching it, evangelizing, prison ministry, nursing home ministry, hospitality ministry, wherever you are, the gospel should not only be declared, but it shall also be demonstrated with power and authority. This is why Jesus was not just another teacher. He was one who walked in the office. He was one who was ordained, one who was called, one who was sent as the apostle and the prophet. He was one who had the power to manifest the gospel that he preached, the gospel that he taught and began to teach to people. And that what made him different and set him apart from all the other teachers that was in their day. They knew something was different about this man because he taught with authority and he taught with power. See, those who experienced his teaching was shocked by how different it was. What made the teaching different? The anointing. Jesus walked in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and therefore his teaching was anointed. One of the things that we have to vastly understand, as we understand our culture, that the anointing and the atmosphere of our culture has a lot to do with demonstration in our culture. When we exemplify order, when we exemplify that we understand the giftings that are born the men and women of God that God has set in front of us, and we honor those gifts properly, as we honor every saint in the body of Christ properly, then that would make the ultimate difference, because it gives the atmosphere and the latitude of the Holy Spirit, the latitude to manifest the presence of God that we preach about. That happens when we, as the sons and daughters of God, understand, respect, and honor in the culture that we both exist in. That's when it happens. That's when it manifests. See, Jesus always kept his environment. His environment always was full of anointing. It was always full of the truth of the Word of God. So he always had demonstration. Awareness that to help you develop in the gifts, in the anointing, is prayer life. Prayer life is vital. Jesus spent time each morning. The Bible says that Jesus would get up early in the morning and he'll ease off from the disciples, and he'll go spend time in prayer, communion with the Father, building himself up in his most holy faith, you know, getting stirred up in the Spirit, in the will of God, and coming to the place where he sensed the presence of God. What are you saying for the day? What's on your mind today? God, Father, what you want me to do today? See, he was constantly sharpening himself and staying king in the spirit, so that he always on the cutting edge of knowing what the Father wanted done. Not only that, but I believe that he had such a revelation, insight into everyday operation that he knew what was going to happen before the day started by the spirit of discernment. He knew what was going to take place. He sensed the presence, he sensed the power of God, and he experienced the power, he was experiencing the power of his atmosphere, his surrounding. That way he knew when the lawyers and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, when they came around him, and scribes also, when they came around him to try to trap him, see, the gift of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, all of these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 were in operation on Jesus' life and in his ministry. So he was king, he was short, but he had something to do. He always spent time in prayer with the Father, intimacy with the Father, so he can always have his soul and his spirit in tune with the Holy Spirit. Have his soul in tune with the Holy Spirit, so he can always know what needed to be done and how to handle it. So these gifts don't only work just because they're gifts. The office has to work in the anointing. He has to work in the power of the presence of the Most High God. Yes, it would just be like regular men as instructors, you know, instructors in institutions, high schools, colleges, just instructors, you know, having no power, having no weight, having no demonstration that affect people's lives, that affect people's lives and bring change in people's lives. So let's focus on number as we go forward. Number two, he taught with authority. Now I want you to focus in. Number two is that Jesus taught with authority. He taught with authority. Christ is the model that defines the ministry of teaching in his church, and the implications of his teaching model is that unless we bring people into the tangible, supernatural reality of the gospel, we have no authority to teach it. Wow, that is so powerful. Unless we can begin to bring people into this atmosphere or this culture of the supernatural, then we have no authority or right to be teaching this gospel. Whenever the gospel is preached, men are saved, men are delivered, men are built up, they are edified, lives are touched, inward change take place every time we're teaching it, every time we're ministering the word of God. That's why you should never come out in the presence of people without the presence of God on your life. Pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, whenever we come forward to stand in the presence of the audience, the awaiting audience of souls who are anxious about hearing a word from God, being touched by God, having an encounter with God, we must be engaged in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, so that we come out with the presence of God. We come out with the presence of God. Watchman Nee said one thing that I read his book, talking about spiritual authority. Watch when he says if we do not preach the word of God with power and authority and with force, the word of God will suffer. The word of God will suffer. Other words, it will fall and not have the impact that it's supposed to have on the lives of the people, you know, who are waiting there, that bodies that need to be healed and set free and delivered, you know, souls that need to be set free from the strongholds, and minds and emotions that need to be delivered from oppression. He said it will happen when we begin to set ourselves in the presence of God, sanctifying ourselves in the Word, saturating ourselves in the presence of the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and then come out and preach that Word with authority and power. He said, then the Word of God will go forth and pierce the darkness of the hearts of men, and sinners will get saved and confess Jesus as Lord. When we preach in power, we teach in power. So Apostle Thompson focus is, as he sought the school up, is that we will begin to sense the presence of God and watch when the Holy Spirit come upon his life, why he's teaching us about the apostolic and the power of God come on his life, so that we can see the transformation when you walk from the flesh into the spirit world. You walk from the flesh into the spirit world. And that is powerful, my brother, my sister. That is powerful. And that's the way it is supposed to be, whether you're in a job, whether you're in a restaurant, whether you, wherever you are witnessing, you would be transformed. The Word of God will come, begin to come out of you and begin to penetrate that arena that you're in and cause people's lives to be changed. Glory to God. Jesus taught with authority. He taught with authority. One who knew the Father, one who had a relationship with God. And that's what you and I got to behold all the time and be focused in on all the time, that we have a relationship with God, and we know what God is calling us to do. We know what God is calling us to do. He goes on in the next paragraph and says this: I realize the kind of government I am describing, in which there is a clear order or priority in the various roles, is difficult to understand and embrace in American culture. It's difficult to embrace in the American culture, the order of priority. This, again, I emphasize, very important. We cannot have heavenly manifestation until we have heavenly order in the earth. Order, that's where government comes in. That's where Ephesians 4 and 12 and 11 comes in, that when he said, I gave gifts to men. And he gave us the fivefold gifting to the office to carry and set order in the body of Christ. This government has to be respected. It has to be understood. It has to be taught, because of our American model is earthly and not heavenly. Men have pretty much eradicated, or says there are no more apostles. The apostles died out with the 12 apostles. But I come to beg the difference, that there were apostles outside of the 12. You know, and I said that before, over in Antioch, where the church first began to call Christians, there were apostles then. So the 12, the original 12, yes, they are going on, but the office of the apostle was not established only on the 12. It was established on Jesus Christ, who is the first and chief apostle. He is the chief apostle. That's what it was built on, established on. So Jesus is alive and well, and he's still calling men to be in that office of the apostle and operate in the apostolic government of the kingdom, that we may have heaven to earth insight on what God is doing and what God is speaking, that there's a release of a rhema word in the earth, a rhema word in the earth. See, there also have to be a preceding word. The gospel, though it goes to Revelations and says amen, Acts of the Apostles does not have amen at the end of it, because it's continuing. You and I are the continuation of the acts of the Holy Ghost resting on the church, resting on the church. So there is no amen. So there's a continuous preceding word, yet still being released from heaven when we get in the presence of God. It all come in alignment with the prophetic, with the apostolic teaching, but it's still a fresh rhema, insight and revelation coming from the Father. So therefore, the apostles are still needed, that we may know exactly what God is doing in the earth, in heavens, that he won't done in the earth. So that's still important. So the priority has to be understood, amen, that we must honor the office of the apostle, of the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. These offices must be honored and have respect, that the gifts and the grace that's on these offices can be released into the body of Christ and upon every member and every sinner that gets saved. It can manifest. Let's go forward. He says here, Our American style of democratic government is designed to keep all its governing members in a system of checks and balance, where each branch of government must be accountable to another branch so that no one, legislator, judge, or president can gain control of the whole government. That's the American model. See, I understand that and value this is an earthly model. Nonetheless, it is there in the scripture. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. I believe that much of the church has ignored this scripture. He said, I believe that much of the church has ignored this scripture and has been using templates gleaned from earthly governments in an attempt to replace heaven. Wow. He said, we are trying to make heaven look like earth instead of earth look like heaven. See, Jesus sought this order. He spoke this order to the apostles. And so therefore, this is the template or the original priority order that you and I are supposed to follow in the kingdom or in the church. But men have begun to watch the world system, the world government work, and trying to bring that system in the church. And that is why the church is so important for you to use this word. That's why the church is so dead of miracles. The church is so dead of miracles and signs and wonders and demonstration and power. And this is why many times sinners do not want to come to church, and those who come to church get so bored with church because there's no power. There's no anointing that's destroying the yokes with signs, wonders, and miracles on a consistent base. Not an every now and then base, on a consistent base. There's no prophetic work going forth that encourage, that builds, that stir the fire on the inside of people, that give them an expectation from the Lord that God is working on something, that God promised a yea and their amen, and that they can have an expectation that something big is about to happen, that God is working on their behalf, the angels are moving on their behalf right now because of the fact we are using earthly models trying to demonstrate heavenly government. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And that's why the church, the world do not fit in the church, and the church really don't fit in the world neither. You see? But the idea is we are commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see? That men may be saved. So it's a warfare that goes on because the world don't want to accept the kingdom government at God's way of doing things. You see? And so therefore, that becomes the warfare that goes on in government. And that's why when people come out of the world to get saved, they must be born again so they can accept the heavenly order and the heavenly government. That's why the born again experience is so important. Listen what it says. But only heaven templates can reproduce heaven on the earth. Only heaven templates can produce heaven on the earth. Now that's number three. Underline that and make sure you got it. Only heaven templates can reproduce heaven on earth. Let's move forward. When we use other models, the church becomes no more than what people already expect from their earthly experience. Isn't that amazing? When people come to the kingdom, they are not expecting what they experience in the world to be in the church. They expect the church to be the place that is so much different. There's no other place on the planet like the church. And they are coming with an expectation that the church has the power of God's presence to bring soul change, life change, mental change in their life and give them direction and instructions for life and power for living, power for enduring, power for going forward. They believe that. They come with an expectation for that. But when we use these earthly templates, then we become earthbound and earthly powerless to change situation. why cancer is not dying, why people are not getting healed from a lot of diseases in the earth, why there are incurable diseases. Because the church, Jesus exemplified the healing ministry with power and demonstration, and he destroyed the works of the enemy and set them free of all oppression, Acts 10:38. So therefore, the church should have the same anointing, same power, demonstrating God's glory in such a manner. Demonstrating God's glory in such a manner. So Christ is the model. Christ is the model that defines the ministry of teaching. He is the model that defines the ministry of teaching in his church. And the implication of the teaching model is that unless we bring people into the tangible supernatural reality of the gospel, we have no legal right to be teaching it. That's number four. We went through that earlier. I missed it, but I want to go back and make that number four. Unless we come to the understanding, if Christ is the model, and if we do not allow that model to exist, we don't have no right to teach it. That was back in our first paragraph. What we did, one and two, the closing of that paragraph, you'll see that statement, that Christ is the model that defines the ministry of teaching in his church. So go back and pick that up. That's number four. That is number four. Okay, let's get to number five, and we'll prepare closing. When we use other models, the church becomes no more than what people already expect from the earthly experience. That's number five. You want to make sure you have that outline. That is number five that we were sharing with you. When we use other models, the church becomes no more than what people already expect. When people meet you as the Christian, the word says that you're the light of the world. You're the city that sits on the hill that cannot be hid. When people meet you and encounter you, they encounter the kingdom. They encounter the difference. That's what they're encountering. They're encountering the love of God, the peace of God, the power of God, because it comes through you, the believer. You, the student, will be carrying and packing such an anointing in an atmosphere of God's nature that when people embrace you, they embrace God. When they embrace you, they embrace God. Listen, we want you to stay focused. We want you to stay engaged because of what God is doing in the earth realm, and he's doing it through you. He's going to do it through you. God has no other body to do it through but yours, the believer. And so therefore, we're going to submit to God. We're going to submit to that anointing and begin to flow in the power of God, because I'm telling you, you're walking heavy in the Spirit. You're walking heavy in the Spirit. So you want to be on target and on focus for what God is doing in the earth. Listen, until next time, this is lesson number five. Get ready. We're headed to lesson number six, and you don't want to miss it. Till next time. God bless.